And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Ohio is home to a growing immigrant population, and this week it's being celebrated with Cincinnati's first Welcoming Week. It goes on through Sunday. Cincinnati Compass is teaming up with community groups and partners across the region to celebrate new Americans and their contributions to our society. The theme of Welcoming Week is Belonging Begins With Us. Joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss Welcoming Week is Cincinnati Compass Executive Director Brian Wright. Brian, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
We also have with us CARE Cincinnati co-researcher Tika Adhikari. Tika, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And African Professionals Network President Prince Ellis. Prince, thank you for being with us also.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks a lot.
So, Brian, this is the first Welcoming Week here in Cincinnati. Why does Cincinnati want to have this kind of event?
Well, I think National Welcoming Week is really coming from Welcoming America, and we want to have it because the immigrant refugee population is a growing population. There's a long history here. When I started with Cincinnati Compass back in 2017, the immigrant population was around 3.5%, and now it's up to 6%. And so it's a growing population, and we want to make sure that everyone here feels welcome, safe, and valued. And so Welcoming Week is that opportunity to celebrate the cultural and economic contributions of immigrants and refugees across the region, but also to promote those opportunities of encounter so that we can have cross-cultural communication and dialogue to really learn and celebrate our differences and grow as a vibrant region.
Brian, how do we make immigrants here feel welcome? What are some of the areas that we as a region perhaps need to focus on?
Well, I think for the work of Compass, and what we see is that, you know, where someone does feel a sense of home, a sense of belonging, a place where they're valued. So whether it's on the job site and feeling that their history, work history, their international credentials, the fact that they speak multiple languages, that's respected on the job site, to feeling a safe, you know, safe in their neighborhoods, I think are some of the key ways that some people, that immigrants and refugees would feel welcome here, that that they can contribute and are not just here for to access resources, but to also participate, to help grow our economy, to be educators, to start businesses.
So, Brian, I introduced you as the executive director of Cincinnati Compass, and that may not be an organization completely familiar with our listeners. So what exactly are you and what do you do?
Sure. Thanks for asking. We're an initiative that came out of the Mayor's Task Force on Immigration back in 2015, and three of the five subcommittees then recommended the creation of some kind of center to help coordinate efforts. So really, we work to advance cultural and economic inclusion of immigrants and refugees across the region. And so we're involved in different areas like civic engagement, so with civic action for refugee empowerment. We work in the areas of small business development to help aspiring entrepreneurs and existing business owners to gain access to resources. And that's where one of the partnerships with the African Professional Network comes in. Also in the areas of workforce development to help, say, for example, internationally trained professionals get back into their field, to working in areas of health and mental health. So really across the board, and our three pillars are advocacy for more inclusive policies, whether it's with employers to local and state policies and legislation, connecting people to resources and to each other. And then the third is celebrate and promote cultural and economic contributions of immigrants and refugees across the region. And Welcoming Week is a great time to do that.
Tika Adhikari is CARE Cincinnati co-researcher. Tika, your views on immigrants in Cincinnati, is this a welcoming community?
I would, for the most part, yes. But I also have to admit that I do live in a bubble in a way, because I work with a lot of nonprofits like Brian and EPNED and other nonprofits that advocates for refugees and immigrants. However, I do think Cincinnati has a long way to go. We're on the right track in terms of bringing in refugees and immigrants and supporting them to survive. But we have a long way to go in terms of helping them thrive in the city and supporting them throughout the process, not just welcoming them at the beginning.
Well, talk to me a little bit more about that. What would it look like ideally to better support them after the initial welcoming?
I would say, for those who do not know, I come from a refugee background, and a refugee is someone who has fled his or her home country due to the persecution, war, or violence. So when we first come here, we're a refugee family is given 90 days to learn about the culture, learn the language, and be self-sufficient enough to start working, because federally, the resettlement agencies are only provided 90 days funding to help refugee resettle in the state. So I think it's extremely essential for the refugees to have more support in terms of being able to navigate the system here in the States. We already know that it's a country with a vast systemic in terms of education, of employment, and accessing the resources out there. So providing more fundings to nonprofits and resettlement agency and community-based, ethnic community-based agencies, organizations to continue helping refugees and immigrants would be a first step based on my experience.
So Tika, you came to America from Bhutan?
My parents, so it's a bit tricky when it comes to my nationality. So my parents were born in Bhutan, but they were originally from Nepal. They migrated, their grand forefathers migrated a couple hundred years ago to Bhutan. And due to the ethnic cleansing, they had to flee the country and resettle back in Nepal in early 1990s. However, they were not considered Nepalese enough to for them to be considered Nepalese citizen or have a permanent residence. So we're considered refugees. And I was born in one of the refugee camps in Nepal. So I was born in Nepal, but and I consider myself Nepali, but I do have a history of my parents being Bhutanese. Somehow I do feel connected that way to the country Bhutan as well.
Well, can I ask, I would understand why you would come to America as a refugee. What was it about Cincinnati specifically? How did you end up here, if I may ask?
So my family were resettled in Chicago in 2009. After living there for a few years, we were very community-oriented people. All we had was families and community members since our parents fled the country. So after my mom has her sisters, and we all of her sisters, brothers and sisters from all over the country ended up moving here as well. But it was a job opportunity, and we come from a background where we did not own a house or had anything of our own. So I guess my parents found an opportunity to be able to purchase a house here in Cincinnati, with the living costs not being as high as in Chicago.
Very interesting. We'll come back because we are going to explore some other topics related to immigration in Cincinnati, particularly entrepreneurship. But first, let's go to African Professionals Network President Prince Ellis. And Prince, may I ask what brought you to the area?
Yeah, I came to actually... I came to actually Cincinnati, but I went to Northern Kentucky University. I came as an international student. So I'm from Ghana,
yeah.
But I've been here since 98, so I feel a little bit older, but I've been around the tri-state maybe about 20 plus years. So I came to college, so really been school when I was at NKU, I could tell there was a we have all these different groups on campus that you feel a little bit like home, but once you finish school, there wasn't really any group out there that you can work together, and that's the reason why we formed UpNet in the first place. I was heavily involved in campus life, doing a lot of community work on campus, and by once I did graduate from NKU, there was a void somewhere. I'm like, okay, I don't see any groups out there that I can help with serve our community. So that's the reason why we formed UpNet. But yeah, I'm from Ghana, and I call Cincinnati actually my home as well. I love Cincinnati, but as Atika said, there's a long road ahead of us. We are on the right track, but there's a lot more that we can do to make the Cincinnati a welcoming place. Yeah.
And just as a reminder to our listeners, we heard Prince reference APNET, and that is the acronym for African Professionals Network. I'll also note that Prince Ellis is an associate professor of economics and finance at the University of Cincinnati. And as I asked the others, Prince, how do you view, I think you were starting to hint at this, that we've still got a long road to go, but what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses as it relates to the immigrant community and the native Cincinnati area people, I guess, support for them?
Yeah, yeah. I honestly think that, and I think Brian maybe might agree with me on this or might not, but I think the city, most of the groups, community groups that I know really form as a way to support these groups, because sometimes it's hard to just wait on the city or to wait on the state to come along. So we have to sometimes take matters into our own hands to start a group and try to support each other at the early stage. Because I know that the support is very critical. I mean, I know friends of mine, most of my friends sometimes, I wouldn't say most, but some of my friends finished school, they just moved out of Cincinnati because really there wasn't really a place they could call home. And but I chose to stay and we helped form a group. So to me, that kept me here because I was involved in camp, in serving our community, doing a lot of networking events, business engagements, and also community engagements. But overall, I know Cincinnati, honestly, has been home to me, maybe because of my nature. I'm always the kind of person that always goes out there and gets stuff done. But it takes support from that high level, like city or the county or the state. Because if we don't get support from the city or the state, sometimes it takes a long road. It takes a long time for us to accomplish our goals. And but I'm glad that at least Compass has been around and working close with us, all these different groups, to make us feel home. And I'm the first of I have a bigger family members here in Cincinnati. I have about, I think, seven of us. I was the first to come to school here at NKU, and six of mine all came over. Six are still in the tri-state. Only one moved to Texas. So you could tell that they made Cincinnati their homes. So it really has been, honestly, a good place for me. I don't know if I'm going to move out of Cincinnati, but I think so far this has been a great place for me so far, yeah.
We will continue our conversation about Welcoming Week here in Cincinnati with the theme Belonging Begins With Us, and our conversation with Cincinnati Compass Executive Director Brian Wright, CARE Cincinnati co-researcher Tika Adhikari, and African Professionals Network President Prince Ellis just ahead. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue with our conversation about Welcoming Week, a celebration of the growing immigrant community here. The theme is Belonging Begins With Us. And we're joined today by Cincinnati Compass Executive Director Brian Wright, CARE Cincinnati co-researcher Tika Adhikari, and African Professionals Network President Prince Ellis. And I'm looking over some data, Brian, from New American Economy, which, as you noted before, 6% of the population in Cincinnati, which we heard in our previous segment, is actually larger this year than 10 years ago. 6% of this population is foreign-born, and more than 40% of that foreign-born population comes from Asia, with the next highest group being just over 26% from Latin America, and then just over 18% from Africa. But these are folks who have a higher percentage of people with bachelor's degrees and graduate degrees. So let's talk about the economic impact of these immigrants who are coming to this region. They're starting businesses. They're getting involved in entrepreneurship. Tell us what you're seeing.
Sure. And just like in this last thing, we were talking about population growth. What we do know, we'll find more numbers as census data comes out about the immigrant refugee, the foreign-born population. But what we do know is that between 2014 and 2017, 98% of the population growth in the region was due to immigrants and refugees coming to the region. So immigrant refugees are drivers of that population growth. And we also see that in Northern Kentucky, who also has released their welcoming plan a couple years ago and has put that into action and practice. And that was led by the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce, where 77% of growth in Northern Kentucky was due to immigrants and refugees. So when we look at, you know, with population growth, you have more spending power, more tax base, more opportunity for people to start businesses and to fill jobs. And then when you add to it that we have an aging population, and so the immigrants and refugees coming to the region are largely of working age and to help fill jobs. So those are two kind of key areas. And when you talk about, like you mentioned, 44% of immigrants and refugees have a bachelor's degree or higher. So that's able to help fill jobs in key industries here in the region, in healthcare, IT, advanced manufacturing, hospitality. And as we know that there's been some problems during the pandemic and a need to fill some of these jobs. So the population coming here, again, helps with population growth and then to help fill some of our key sectors across the region.
Tika Adhikari is a CARE Cincinnati co-researcher. And Tika, I understand that you and other members of the Bhutanese community established a home health and home care agency. It's called Oasis Home Care and Oasis Home Health Agency. And that was created specifically to address health care needs and health disparities within the refugee communities. Can you talk a little bit about how you were able to pursue that opportunity? Do we still have Tika? I'll come back to Tika momentarily. We might just be having a short technical difficulty. All of our guests are joining us via... Oh, there she is. Okay, I'm sorry, Tika. Did you hear my question? That's okay. Tika, just pause for a moment. Our engineer, Josh Elstro, is checking out the situation, and we will get reconnected and give you the opportunity to talk a bit about that Oasis Home Care and Oasis Home Health Agency organization that you helped create with other members of the Bhutanese community here. But I will turn back to Prince Ellis, who, in addition to being an associate professor of economics and finance at the University of Cincinnati, is also president of the African Professionals Network, or APNET. Prince, talk a bit about how immigrants and refugees who are coming here from Africa are turning to entrepreneurship and how you're connecting them.
Yeah, I think one of our pillars for APNET is business. So we have our networking business and community engagement. So there's a lot of people that have reached out to us about how to start a business, what are some of the loops you go through to have a business license. So we've seen a huge number of people looking for ways to start a business. And so we have started our entrepreneurship program that help train people, how to help educate them, not try to provide resources to them. We have partnered with Compass, City of Cincinnati, and other groups to share resources, because we know that sometimes the resources are sometimes already there. You just have to work with the right groups to disseminate the information to the right people. So that's what we are trying to do. There's a lot of requests. And I know that sometimes people assume that maybe groups like SBA and all these other groups can help with the needs of the Africans here in and also immigrants as a whole. But sometimes it's not easy because of what cultural and different issues that immigrants go through. We usually help them address those issues, and then we work with them, one-on-one, to make sure that all these issues that I address. So far, there has been huge demands for entrepreneurship initiatives. And that's the reason why we continue to partner with other groups, even the city, again, the state, the county, and different groups to make sure that we provide support and also find mentorship, mentoring has always been a big deal. We have some of our members who are doing really well. So we try to find ways to provide mentorship to those in need, and working with us, sort of Cincinnati and and other groups.
Prince, you were starting to touch on something I wanted to ask about, which is, of course, there are broad organizations out there that can aid folks who are looking to start businesses or to grow businesses or to further their business education. But what specifically is beneficial for African entrepreneurs, for example, who are from Africa and have migrated to Cincinnati for one reason or another, and connecting with other African people like you?
Yeah. I mean, I know sometimes the learning curve, I mean, I have a couple of members who are, I think Brian can also attest that a couple of members who are professionals who have degrees from different African countries, and they arrive in the US and they're pretty much have no jobs. So we do the best we can to help them with the proper credentialing. Maybe sometimes we educate them. We've been here a while, so we know the hoops and loops in this system. So we do the best we can to educate them, to provide them with pathways to get them jobs. It might take a while. I know that the pathways for someone with education from different countries is still in progress. I know that you can get your certifications sometimes translated, or maybe in the US, but it's tough. So we try to partner with organizations that are immigrant friendly, because we know groups that are really immigrant friendly, and we work with them very closely to make sure that those in need, we have a lot of networks across the city. So we work with them very strategic, identify those needs and support them to the best that we can. So far that's what we've been doing: entrepreneurship programs, mentoring programs, career development programs, working with youth and even those in college and those in even professional like myself, those who are in my career. We try and connect them with resources, so that we hope that their learning curves will be shorter. Because again, it took for me a long time to get to where I am. You go through hustle and bustle. We try to make it much easier, for them, yeah.
And I think I can go back to Tika Adhikari now of CARE Cincinnati, where she is a co-researcher, also one of the founders with other members of her community of a home health and a home care agency. Tika, if you're back with us, and I hope you are, I can't see the Zoom connection that we have. Talk a bit, and I've only got a couple of minutes left, but talk a bit about how you saw a need in your community and gathered with others to address it.
Hey, Michael, can you hear me now?
I sure can.
Alrighty, I apologize
That's
for the inconvenience.
Okay.
So, Oasis Home Care and Oasis Home Health Agency, it's a obviously home health agency that's established with the help of myself, my partner, and seven other community members, along with other supporters from the community. We see the health disparities within the community and lack of knowledge, because we come from a very isolated background with no formal education at all for older folks. So we see what's going on and where the gap is as former refugees ourselves. And so it came from sense of responsibility and sense of having a group, a one-stop place for the community members to come in and get the navigational service for anything they need help with. So although we're established to provide home health services, we also provide navigational service. We see the need for health and wellness classes. So that's what we do and partner with some of the community members. We have about 30 to 40, mostly women, attending the class every Saturday for citizenship class, learner permit class, and English language class, so they can be more self-sufficient and have a better understanding of healthcare system, not just the healthcare system, but the America as a whole, as a country, and the norms and culture they have here. So integration and awareness and advocacy is our focus, even as an agency.
In our last minute together, I want to ask all three of you for a simple piece of advice, particularly for native Cincinnatians. If the theme of Welcoming Week is belonging begins with us, what's the best way that the average Cincinnatian can start to live up to that or look to be more engaged in that belief? And I'll go to Brian Wright, the Cincinnati Compass Executive Director, first.
Reach out to your neighbors. Say hello. That's talk with Tika and Prince. We, you know, just reach out and say hello and listen and learn and be available to support and help people.
Tika Adhikari, CARE Cincinnati co-researcher, your thoughts on that?
I could not agree more. And Brian and I and our team always talk about that. And we come from a society where we, our community, where we are always meeting people and we're so used to being outdoors. And it's very unusual and isolating for, it was at least for me. And I'm sure a lot of refugees can relate that not being able to have direct contact. And I think that's where the misconception about refugees and immigrants come from, because a lot of folks out there have, or our community, mainstream community members have not met us in person. And every time I hear about hate crime or something, someone going against refugees and immigrants and having all these stereotypical thoughts, I go like, have they met us? Have they met any refugee or immigrant? So reaching out and genuinely trying to learn would be something I suggest.
And African Professionals Network President Prince Ellis, a president and a prince, I give you the last word, but we've only got about 15 seconds.
All right, I think start talking to people. Conversation, conversation, conversation. Get to know people. Talk to people. Talk to people.
Well, thank you all so much, Brian, Tika, and Prince. It was a pleasure to talk to you all today. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.